What's up, people? Another episode of Just for Sport. Jamoke Davis here with you. Man, it's been a lot going on since my last pod. We're going to talk about college basketball, the men's and women's tournament going into the championship, the National Football League as we get set for the draft. Tom Brady saying might think about coming back if a team needs some help towards the end of a season. How crazy is that? We're going to talk about the Masters. Some baseball. Orioles and Nats. I went to an Orioles-Pirates game. I'll talk a little bit about that. And the NBA. It's coming down to the wire. End of the season. And I'm going to tell you why much of the NBA disrespects the regular season. But first, I'm going to start with college basketball. And there's all of this talk about how the ratings are so much better for women's basketball than it is for the men's college game. And I'm just like, I just don't want to have the comparison. I think Caitlin Clark is a generational player. Yes, South Carolina, the undefeated team. I feel like everybody loves Caitlin Clark because she has that Steph Curry effect. She looks like she could be everybody. And so does Steph Curry. I could be like Steph Curry. He's not super built. Average height, maybe for the NBA. Granted, his dad played in the NBA. So, yeah, that does make him different. But I feel like his body type, his demeanor, you can relate to him. And I think in many ways, that's what happens with Caitlin Clark. People feel like they can relate to her. They're drawn to want to watch her play. The young generation is like, I can be like her. But to compare it to the men, to compare it to, oh, everybody likes women's college basketball more than men. They recognize the women more than they do the men. I'll say it again. I've said it before in this podcast. No, they don't. They know Caitlin Clark. Maybe they know Juju. Maybe they know Paige Beckers. Maybe they know one of the dirty debutantes, which was the worst thing anything ever, any journalist could ever write about someone. And that's why they had to immediately apologize. You may know Angel Reese. So maybe you know 2, 3, 4 players, and that's it. Don't say you know women's college basketball. People are more into that than the men's. Let's just not to compare the two. Let's try not to compare the ratings when you know and I know, and maybe you don't know, that the men played at like 10 o'clock at night on a Monday, and the women's championship game was Sunday at 3. What else you got to watch Sunday at 3? Yeah, more people are going to tune in. Granted, Caitlin Clark against Connecticut, that was a night game, yes. So the ratings were good. But then when you also find out that the highest rated game before that was back when Cheryl Miller was playing at USC, come on, just chill on that. You can enjoy the game. Let's just try not to compare. Let's not get into that. I will say also the purchasing power of women, which we know that works for advertisers no matter what you're watching on television, right? Women, man, if they're watching, the ratings are up. I mean, I know it's weird to say, oh, the men will always watch. No, but it's like if more of the casual fans happen to be women and you can attract the casual fans, then yeah, that's good for you. I mean, some of the games with Caitlin Clark beat NBA playoff games and NHL Stanley Cup and Major League Baseball World Series. But when I ask you, do you know who, give me a name of a player on South Carolina? You can't name a player. So it's not women's college basketball, it's Caitlin Clark. Now we'll see if it translates to the WNBA. That maybe all of a sudden people are going to go want to watch the Indiana Fever. That very well may happen. And good for her. Good for them. The only thing that bugged me about the women's tournament against Caitlin Clark is the whole I can't feel my face sign. And saying that Angel Reese is a dirty player, blah, blah, blah. And everybody seems to forget that it was actually Caitlin Clark that was doing that first towards her opponent. And so when Angel Reese did it, that was just like retaliation. That's what that was. But everybody forgot that Caitlin Clark did that first. And I don't know why. Caitlin Clark was the one taunting first. I want to see what happens next. When it's Paige Beckers for UConn, who I thought UConn was going to win that game. Once again, refs destroyed the game, right? 5.9 seconds, swallow the whistle. Don't call an illegal screen right there. You're making yourself too much of the game. But let's see what Paige Beckers does next year. How many of y'all know AZ Fudd, who was the number one player coming out of high school that went to UConn? Granted, she got injured, similar to Paige Beckers. Let's see what she can do when she comes back. Are you going to have the same love for Juju Watkins at USC? Let's see. Don't let me have to call you a hypocrite. Let's see if you really like women's college basketball. Next year, we'll be telling about the ratings in my mind. Let's just stop comparing the ratings. Please. Please. I did think Candace Parker had a little bit of shade for Caitlin Clark. I don't know if y'all peeped it, but during the men's tournament, the finals, they had like this opening video. And Candace Parker says, you can't be a legend unless you win a championship. We know who doesn't have a championship. She'll still be a legend. But I think that was a little something hinting there. There are a lot of WNBA players. Even when I was watching the simulcast for the women's final with Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird. And oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the other player's name. Gosh, she's really good. And I'm forgetting her name. But I watched them and I think they were like, yeah, okay, Caitlin Clark. But it wasn't like over-the-top glowing remarks. That's what I would say. It was like, we'll see. And they certainly didn't like the foul call. There's no doubt about that. Granted, there was probably a UConn bias anyway. There probably was. But on the men's side, UConn won the championship. And all I kept thinking about is back in the day when the University of Pittsburgh was in the Big East and they switched to the ACC while I was in school, how much I wanted UConn and Villanova and St. John's and Georgetown to come over to the ACC too. Now, granted, they may have changed the trajectory, the path for that team. But I was happy for them because I feel like this. My grandfather loved UConn. My mom loves UConn. She still lives in Connecticut. And so she was very happy. And the thing is, like, for them to come over to the ACC, even for the ACC, it should not have been all about football. Why? Because look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame has never said, okay, we'll put football in the ACC. But all their other sports are. So would it have been that big of a deal if UConn, which actually had football, but St. John's and Georgetown and Villanova. Actually, did Villanova have football back then? I don't think so. But when you think of the landscape of the conferences and how it's changing, how much stronger the ACC might have been. They might have just been a little bit stronger. I didn't really enjoy the final. UConn has won 12 straight games, including the NCAA tournament, by like 10 points or more. It wasn't boring, but very early, I was like, nah, Purdue doesn't have a shot. Zach Edey played well, but Purdue doesn't have a shot. I mean, come on. They just don't have a shot. And it showed. It really did, unfortunately. I got to see another show. Orioles, Pirates, opening day in Pittsburgh. I want to see the Orioles in a few more stadiums. Pirates came back to win the game in the bottom of the 10th, so it was an exciting game. I tell you what, hats off to the Pirates. I don't know if I can go to another game without sitting on the club level. I wasn't that cold, but on the club level, it's a little quieter. You get to go inside, get some food. The lanes aren't too crazy. You can play pool if you want to, watch a little bit on the game, chill in the lounge chair and watch the game, but then go right outside if you want to see something. I just really like watching the game from that level. I don't know if I could ever go back. And the funny thing is the other families that I invited, they said the same thing. This is my first time ever watching a game from the club level. I don't know if I could ever do anything else. I was like, I don't blame you. I get it. It's amazing. It's so choice to take a line from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I find a baseball game to be the best game to watch. Not because I don't like to watch basketball or football or tennis or hockey a little bit, but those sports are so much faster. You have to watch the action. In baseball, you get to just chill a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You see it at bat, he fouls it off. You go back to talking with your whoever's with you at the game. You wait 30 seconds for the next pitch. I don't know. It's something about it that is just so relaxing in the summertime. You just can't beat it. You just really can't beat it. And, it was so much fun. I'm going to go see the Dodgers at some point. I'm going to go see the Nationals as well. So I got my season all mapped out. I've got it all mapped out. Fantasy baseball, I'm only 0-1. It's early, but for some reason, my team's just not that hot right now. Hopefully, they'll get hot later. I've been looking at the standings, and I feel like it's too early to be paying attention to the baseball standings. But as we're about a week in, maybe 2 weeks in, you wonder if you took a snapshot, are these the teams that'll be at the top? And as I look at them, it's almost boring because I can almost guarantee that the teams you see right now at the top in the AL East and NL East will be at the top when we get to the end of the season. And there's only one team that I'm regret to have to say, and I hope it changes. But at the top of the AL East are the New York Yankees. Juan Soto is just playing ridiculous. Re-energize that team. The top of the AL Central is the Cleveland Guardians, and I think they will guard against KC and Detroit, Minnesota, and the White Sox and win that division. Texas, top of the AL West. Who won the championship last year? Who went to the World Series last year against Arizona? Texas Rangers. I think they will be at the top. Atlanta Braves are in the top at the top of the NL East. I think they will stay there. Milwaukee in the Central. Even though the Pirates are having a bit of a resurgence, they did this a little bit last year where they were good at the end of the season. I think you'll see Milwaukee still there, although Milwaukee has a new manager. Remember, their manager went over to the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. We'll see. And in the NL West, it's the Dodgers. I could see this being the top of each one of these divisions at the end of the season as well. Dodgers, Brewers, Braves, Rangers, Guardians, Yankees. So is the season over? Can we just fast forward right now and just say, let's just play the playoffs? Let's just do it. I mean, I know you really can't. But that's what I see. I see those teams being at the top when we get to the end of the season. That's what I see. I'm on my way to Vegas. And I've been thinking about Ipe Mizuhara. He surrendered to the feds. He's free on $25,000 bond. They said he stole almost $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. I just don't understand how Shohei Ohtani didn't know where his money was going. I mean, but then you read the story and it's like, oh, Ipe was faking like he was Shohei Ohtani. He was telling people in English one thing, but then telling Shohei in Japanese another. I mean, the whole thing was really complicated. And this is the problem with gambling. He was addicted to gambling. His whole life was destroyed. If you read all of the times that he was telling his bookie, give me one more bump. I swear this is the last time. I'm scared, y'all. I'm scared that as much as I do enjoy gambling. I mean, I remember going all the way back to my grandfather was saying, hey, let's put some money on the Giants Washington game or Washington Dallas. I kind of like gambling, but it's scary the way people lose their shirts. And unfortunately, I think gambling is getting a little too close to the real game, and it may ruin it. No one may ever look at Shohei Ohtani the same way again. Not because they think Shohei Ohtani may gamble, but because the story with Ipe will always live with him. You've got NBA coaches talking about it. You've got players like Rudy Gobert doing the money sign when they were playing at Cleveland and he thought the ref was giving Cleveland some calls. Gambling's just too close. The leagues have embraced it. You got the commissioners talking about, hey, we may have to, Rob Manfred saying we may have to relook at how we're coalescing with gambling. And I think they do. Man, I hope I didn't get that wrong. I think that was Rob Manfred. I'm going off my mind a little bit. But I do think they have to look at it. You got a player in the NBA, Michael Porter Jr.'s younger brother, who's being accused of, they're kind of seeing a couple discrepancies with some games. And now they're worried. And he may lose his NBA career because of it. Why? That we have these gambling regulators now investigating Jontay Porter. This is a shame. His career may be over. He may be banned from the NBA. Gambling is becoming too big of a problem for these leagues. And I don't know how you go back. You may not ever be able to go back. I don't know if you can. And that's a shame for all sports leagues across the board. And you know what else is a shame as I stay with the NBA? I have always said that the regular season is very important. And not just in NBA, but I'm focusing on the NBA right now as some teams have a game left. Some teams have two games left. Look at Milwaukee and the Knicks. Half a game separate the two. I would hope that in somebody's mind as a player, you're like, dang, if I had just not done my little low management, oh, coach, I can't play right now. Now, injuries are one thing. But the number of players, and I know NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has tried to fix this. The number of players like, oh, I'm tired. I'm not playing in the back-to-back. And now look where you are. I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about players willingly being like, yo, I'm not going to play tonight. Look how it could affect your season. Look at Orlando and Indiana and Philly all tied at 46 and 35. And you got to think, as man, if we had just won that one more game, we may have more breathing room for Philly. We may be in the sixth seed instead of looking at the play-in tournament. Now, I know Philly's different because they lost Embiid, so it doesn't necessarily count. But it's just about understanding that I don't know why. And I remember last year going into the playoffs, the number of people, media personalities, players, fans, like, the regular season, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. It matters to the Clippers in Dallas, who have a game that separates the two of them. Minnesota and OKC, both tied at 55 and 25. That's 80 games. How's it not matter? You got two left and you're tied. Sacramento, Golden State, the Lakers, all tied with the exact same record with two games to go. Imagine if LeBron had just played one more game, two more games to help him get a win. It's not just LeBron. I'm just using it as an example. Multiple players, oh, coach, can't play tonight. Give me a night off. Maybe coaches are telling the players, hey, I'm going to give you a night off. Maybe it's the analytics upstairs. Hey, yeah, they need a night off for back-to-back, whatever the case may be. They got to, let's save it for the playoffs. But if you don't make the playoffs, what are you saving for? Every game should matter. And I feel like the NBA lost a little bit of that. All sports may have lost a little bit of that, thinking about the regular season. And that's not good. Because if I got a chance to get home court advantage and I look back at that game against Charlotte or Detroit, where I was like, I'm not playing. I'm not playing against Washington. And you end up losing. And I shouldn't say it's just from the bad teams either. Right? I actually had to correct myself. But there was a point, I will admit, during the season, I was like, man, LeBron certainly isn't playing against a lot of the bigger teams. I look back at it. There was some bad teams he didn't play against too. But there were a lot of teams I like. It seemed like he's ducking when he should be playing. When you're playing against a Milwaukee, yeah, you need to play that game. Every game matters. And I want for the leagues, for the players, the teams to get back to that. To understand that, no, if you can go, you need to play. We need you to play. We need you to play. I'm playing when I said I was going to talk about the Masters. What am I going to talk about the Masters? Did I watch? I watched Tiger. Record, what, 24th, 25th cut in a row? Twenty-four straight at Augusta. Most consecutive Masters cuts ever. Nobody's going to be better than Tiger. He's the man. Now, granted, he didn't have the majors record. But what he's done to transform golf, Scottie Scheffler, can he be better than Tiger Woods? Now, I will say he's really talented. But I won't say that he has the magnetism to attract the everyday fan. I find him boring. He just wins. The emotion's not there. He just doesn't have it. Maybe I'll watch a little bit on Saturday. I'll peek in, change the channel on Sunday for a little bit. But I'm not going to watch that much. I want to see what Tiger does. I mean, of course, Tiger, ultra competitive, says, hey, I made the cut. I got a chance. I hope he has a chance. Man, if Tiger can make a run, wow. How amazing would that be? Amazing on a sad side is the players who throw away the players who throw away their careers. And the player I'm referring to is Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice, driving 119 miles per hour before causing a six-vehicle crash last month on a Dallas highway. He had to turn himself in. He was arrested. Racing a Corvette that was driven by another wide receiver, Teddy Knox, who wasn't even in the NFL. He played for Southern Methodist University. Why? Why'd they need to do that? Why'd they need to destroy their careers racing on a highway? I wish these guys would think before they act. I mean, sometimes I'm like, I need to think before I act too. But not when it comes to life or death. One of them could have died in that car crash, or they could have killed somebody else in that car crash. It's reckless and it's stupid. And I hope that they both are given the book. Yeah, you can have a second chance, but after you pay for what you did. They walked away from the crash on a highway. One, as if no one would notice them. Two, as if we don't care about the people we may have endangered by racing and causing a car crash. And we just like walk away like it's nothing. Or did you walk away thinking you're going to get away with it? Come on, you couldn't have possibly thought that. It's just stupid. And I really wish these guys would think before they act. Especially, you know, two-time Super Bowl, maybe not two-time, Super Bowl champ, Rashee Rice. You just won the Super Bowl. And this is what you do? Why? It's sad. It's sad that you throw away your career. It shouldn't be this way. It really shouldn't. And it makes me sad. It really does. What else is going to make me sad? The NFL draft is in Detroit. I am a sucker for a good story. A feel-good, I'm coming home story. And all of the talk is about Jaden Daniels is going to be the Washington Commanders QB. I think it's funny. Every picture they show of Caleb Williams, who's from the DMV, would love for him to play in Washington, play for USC. So every time I see his uniform, I feel like he's already in a Washington Commanders uniform. I want it to happen so bad. And I hope it does. That's one of the best stories in sports. Coming home to play for your home team, the team you rooted for. And I hope that comes to fruition. But the fact that he's a 2022 Heisman Trophy winner is probably going to be the number one pick to the Bears because the Bears already traded Justin Fields to the Steelers. And so Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears instead of Washington. Also think it's interesting that Jaden Daniels just won the Heisman and he's not going to go number one. Maybe this is just some jockeying to see if the Washington will give the Bears something to jump up to number one. And that very well may happen. And actually, I'd be happy about that. I'm probably just pressed. I'm pressed to see Jaden Daniels go to Chicago and Caleb Williams come to Washington. I'm crossing my fingers that happens. April 25th is when the draft kicks off. And I'm going to be nervous that whole day. I am. I really am. And I hope that our dreams come true and Caleb Williams can lead Washington to a Super Bowl that we haven't seen since 1991. That's my hope. And I'll be so excited if it happens. I will be overjoyed if it happens. We shall see. We shall see. What we won't see anymore, and I missed this story in my list, I just want to say as we close, thank you to Steven Strasburg, what he's done for Washington. Help get a World Series for the Nationals in 2019. One of the best memories, sports memories of recent years in Washington. The really good sports memory in Washington. Ovechkin and the Caps winning the Stanley Cup. And then game 7 or game 6, John Wall, is probably number 3. Those are my top 3 in like the last 10 years, I'd say maybe. It's a shame. And I've been waiting a long time. I remember being in Strasburg, Virginia, and seeing the sign that said Washington straight ahead, Strasburg to the right. And I tweeted out that picture, and I've been holding it and holding it and holding it. I was holding it thinking I would use it one day when maybe they traded Strasburg. And that never happened, which was good. It is rare that you find a player that plays with one team for their entire career anymore. You just don't see it happening. I shouldn't say you don't see it. It's rare, as I said earlier, right? Steph Curry, I hope he stays the same team. I don't know so much about Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. You know, all three of them may not be able to stay. But I imagine if they only can keep one, it's going to be Steph Curry. Steph Curry is going to retire a Golden State Warrior. And I don't even know if that's a hot take. That's just what I think will happen. If there's one, it's going to be him. And he deserves it. And Strasburg deserves, no matter what happened with him, with injuries and his relationship with the media and the fans and whatever you may have in your head. When he retires, just say thank you. We got a World Series. It was fun to watch him pitch. And we'll miss him a lot. That'll do it for Just for Sport. I'm Jamoke Davis. Ciao for now.